Good morning.
Good morning.
So many crazy things happening in this world. I don't think I'm even going to go there. Let's keep God's world in prayer. This is His earth. This still belongs to Him. The prince of the power of the air may be freely roaming, but God is still in control. Things that seem like they're out of control, it's only because we don't understand. Thank you for reading the passage today. The message is, I am offering my life. I am offering my life. And it comes out of, if you've not seen a bulletin, it comes out of Luke 18, verses 31 through 34. Luke 18, 31 through 34. Did you understand the passage? I think most of us in here probably have a fair grasp of what was read. But perhaps that's primarily because looking backwards, we have 20/20 vision. And can see things more clearly and understand things better. Not so much with the disciples. Not so much. So we're actually going to begin today in verse 34. Look at verse 34 again. So all these things that Jesus said in these verses 31, 32, and 33, verse 34 comes along and says, but the disciples understood none of these things, and the meaning of this statement was hidden from them, and they did not comprehend the things that were said. Wow. And again, looking backwards, we're like, how could they miss this? How could they miss it? I mean, the disciples knew the Old Testament. If they were good Jews at all, they knew the Old Testament. They had memorized a lot of it. But like the Pharisees, even though they believed in Christ, like the Pharisees, they knew the Old Testament but didn't understand it. And the reason is found here in the middle of this verse. It is found in the middle of this verse in the word hidden. Hidden. It says that the truth was hidden from them. They understood none of it. The statement's meaning, the statements that Jesus said, was hidden from them, and they did not comprehend. When God gives us understanding and comprehension, then and only then will we understand. Then and only then do we comprehend the truth. You have moments in life when you wonder. You're not sure which path you're supposed to take. You don't know exactly what God expects of you. You might understand the path, but you're not always sure which direction on the path you're supposed to go. In those kind of times, of course, according to James, the book of James, we're supposed to pray for wisdom and expect that we will receive wisdom. Well, after the resurrection, Jesus began giving the disciples understanding. As he was walking along the road with the two disciples that were on the road to Emmaus, and he began explaining to them, even after the resurrection, they're still like, well, we don't know what's going on. Now, they didn't know he was risen from the dead yet, the two walking to Emmaus. But even after the crucifixion, they didn't understand that Jesus had to be lifted up. And so Jesus is walking with them on the road to Emmaus, and he begins explaining to them all the things that were supposed to take place from the Old Testament, all the things that the prophets had written about him. So let's look back now at verses 31 through 33. Verse 31 says, he took the 12 aside. He had been speaking to the crowds. He had been speaking to larger groups. And he took the 12 of them, the 12 that he had chosen to be apostles. And he took them aside and he said this, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem. And all the things that are written through the prophets about the Son of Man will be accomplished. Jesus and the disciples, Jesus and the apostles, are on their way to Jerusalem. And it was the time of year for the Feast of Unleavened Bread and Passover. We are coming into that season. We are coming into what we often call Holy Week, right? Palm Sunday, Maundy Thursday, the last meal, Good Friday, where we celebrate his crucifixion, and of course then Resurrection Sunday, otherwise known as Easter Sunday. But this is what they were doing. They were on their way to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. And so Jesus is explaining to them, look, everything that is written in the Old Testament about the Son of Man, hello, me, these things are going to take place. Last week, we took some time and looked at some of the signs Jesus has given us in the New Testament about future, about our future still. Well, the Old Testament is full of signs about the Messiah. A lot of those things have taken place, but there's still a lot of those things that have not taken month. And we could spend a month of Sundays in here. That'd be 4 weeks and 5 weeks. we could spend weeks and weeks looking at the prophecies of the Old Testament about the Messiah, how Jesus fulfilled them, what's still left. We're not going to do that. But what we are going to do is let's look at the next two verses, and we are going to look at these specific signs that Jesus gave the disciples in this passage. Verse 32. Again, everything that's written about the Son of Man will be accomplished. Verse 32, for he will be handed over to the Gentiles and will be mocked and mistreated and spit upon. Wow. Let's break this verse down into those individual things. The Son of Man will be handed over to the Gentiles. Psalm 22:16 says, and this is a messianic psalm referring to, David wrote it, but it is seen as referring to Christ. Verse 16 says, for dogs have surrounded me, a band of evildoers has encompassed me, they pierced my hands and feet. The dogs referred to here are specifically Gentiles. But it also is the chief priests, Pharisees, the scribes. Mark 15:1 actually gives this. It says the chief priests, the elders, the scribes, the whole council. The whole council was there trying to convict Jesus. And so when we look at these dogs, the people that have surrounded him, those that hated him, the chief priests and the elders, the scribes, all of those were surrounding him, all of those who had rejected him. And the Jews, this group of individuals, the Pharisees and so forth, the Jews handed him over to the Gentiles because they were not permitted to execute anyone. They had capital punishment, the right to execute capital punishment. They had that taken away from them approximately 6 AD. The Romans took that away. They said, here comes the governor. Rome's going to rule from Jerusalem, and the Jews can no longer use capital punishment. If someone is to be put to death, the Romans have to do it. And so the Jews had to hand Jesus over to the Romans, even for a chance to have him executed. Well, that fulfilled the prophecies where it said that the Messiah would be executed by non-Jewish men, by the dogs. Looking further in this verse, Jesus said that the Son of Man would be mocked. In Psalm 22, verses 6 through 8, it says this. This is not what we typically think of when we think of Jesus. I am a worm and not a man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All who see me sneer at me. They separate with the lip, they wag their head. Commit yourself to the Lord. Let him deliver you. Let him rescue you. Because if he delights in you, let him rescue you. Is that not exactly what the people did? Matthew 27:43. The people walked by. If he trusts in God, let God rescue him. Let God come down and help him now. If he delights in him, if God delights in him, God get him off of that cross. Come on. Prove that you are who you are. Oh. Would you just take it? My human nature wants to. I want to scream back. I'll kill you. Jesus was just silent. Going on in this verse, Jesus said the Son of Man would be mistreated. Was he mistreated? He was falsely accused. He was condemned to death, even though he had committed no sin or crime of any kind. He was stripped of his clothing. And the soldiers actually drew lots, deciding who got his robes and clothing. Was he being mistreated? That came out of Matthew 27, verse 35. They drew lots. That guy doesn't need his clothes anymore. Which one do you want? I like his shoes. Okay, sandals. Okay, maybe sandals. That fulfilled verse 18 of Psalm 22. Well, looking at the last item in this verse, Jesus said that he would be spit on. Spit on. I have a friend who, the son of a Jewish mother, who accepted Christ and went to testify of Christ to the Jews in New York City. And he said that during his time with Jews for Jesus in New York, countless times he was spit on. I've had people accidentally spit on me when they're excited talking. I probably have done the same. Sorry. Hopefully it doesn't go back that far. But Jesus was spit on. Why, that just sounds great, doesn't it? He was spit on. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 6. This is what prophesied some 700 years before it happened. And yet this is, if you can picture Jesus saying this, I gave my back to those who strike me. I gave my cheeks to those who pluck out the beard. And I did not cover my face from humiliation and spitting. He stood there and he took it in humility and in shame. The humility and shame that we deserve. Does it make you tear up a little? I have in my notes some specific things for me. But the question is this. Do I want Jesus as much as fill in that blank? Finish that sentence. Do I want Jesus as much as I want? Do I love Jesus as much as I think I love? Look at verse 33. After being humiliated and spit on, Jesus says, and after that, they will scourge him, beat him, and then they will kill him. And on the third day, he will rise again. The Son of Man will be scourged. He will be beaten. Listen to this out of Isaiah chapter 52, verse 14. I want to read that out of the New Living Translation today. Isaiah 52, 14 from the New Living Translation says this. But many were amazed when they saw him. Now, not amazed as in, whoo, wow. They were amazed as in, gasping. The verse goes on to say this. His face was so disfigured, he hardly seemed human. And from his appearance, one would scarcely know he was a man. He wasn't just cut and bleeding. The welts, he was swelled up. He was disfigured. He was beaten so severely that he didn't even look human, like some creature. And they looked at him in astonishment, like, and then after being beaten, Jesus said that he would be killed. Isaiah 52:13. Behold, my servant will prosper, but he will be high and lifted up and greatly exalted. This is a dual purpose verse. Because Christ was lifted up and exalted at the right hand of the Father, yes. But first, he was lifted up on that cross and endured that shame and took our guilt. And in verse 5 of Isaiah 53, it says he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell on him. And by his scourging, by his beating, we are healed. Healed, especially spiritually. Absolutely, sometimes that involves physically here on this earth, as we've heard testimony after testimony, as we prayed for people and have come through cancers and disease, and we sit here without going to the hospital for a whole year and a year and a half, and we celebrate those things. So he is for our healing physically as well, but especially spiritual. He was pierced for my transgressions. Mine. Yours too, but mine. I've admitted that there are times that I've kicked the fork, right? I mean, this is a joke, ongoing joke with some of us, that I lose it, or I get angry or whatever. We have sin. We have sin. And because we are saved does not mean that all of our sin goes away. We have things we battle. But he was beaten. He was crushed for our iniquities. He endured that public insult and rebuke so that we could have peace with Father God. Are the tears flowing yet? Why would Jesus do it? Why would Christ, the God of the universe, why would he come down and die such a horrible death for such horrible, sinful people? It really comes down to one word. One word. And to get to that word, I'm going to go through a country artist by the name of Randy Travis. Randy Travis wrote a song called Forever and Ever, Amen. Anyone hear it? Anyone know it? Yeah, good. When that song, he says, as sure as I live, this love that I give is gonna be yours until the day that I die. Oh, baby, I'm gonna love you forever. Forever and ever, amen. Right? And he goes on to say, as long as old men sit and talk about the weather, as long as old women sit and talk about old men, I'm gonna love you forever and ever. Until the day that I die, I'm going to love you forever. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, it says, God being rich in mercy. He was rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, he made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you are saved. Jesus loves us so much that he came to this earth to offer his life. He came to offer his life. His soul was troubled, but he said, what should I do? Walk away from that? I came for this moment. He came to offer his life, to take our place, to pay our penalty, so that we could be with him, so that we could be with the Father. And Jesus loved us until the day he died, but because he arose from that grave, he has loved us every day since that as well. Amen?
Amen.
I had to do it. Come on. In Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 1 through 14, we're only going to look at one of those verses. But in Jeremiah 31, 1 through 14, God gives Jeremiah a prophecy for Israel. And this is specifically for Israel that was in exile at the time, but it is widely accepted and understood that this is also a prophetic word for all of humanity that accepts Christ, that are under his kingship in the millennial kingdom, in the messianic kingdom. And in Jeremiah 31:3, God appears to Jeremiah and says, tell Israel, and likewise all of us who believe in Jesus Christ, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you to me. You didn't come running to me. I've drawn you to me. Isn't that what Jesus said? He said in John, let me look up the passage because I'll get it wrong. In John chapter 12, verse 32, Jesus said, if I am lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. That doesn't mean everybody on the planet's going to be saved, but from every tongue and tribe and nation, he will draw people to him because he was lifted on the cross, right? Jesus offered up his life because he loves us, so that we could be with us, but also because of his holiness. He loves us so much he wants to be with us, but he can't stand sin. His holiness demands a payment for the sin. And so for those of us with our faith in Jesus Christ, no matter what sin we commit on any given day, and we all have sin, come on now. We all have sin every day. But that condemnation of that sin no longer falls on us because it fell on Christ at the cross. And so therefore there is now no condemnation on us. But that doesn't mean we keep going and sinning more. It means we confess our sins and turn from our sins and run towards the open arms of our loving Savior as he draws us. Amen? So I'll end with this thought. As we approach Holy Week, beginning next Sunday, Palm Sunday, may we each one of us ponder every day, as long as we can, but let's ponder the depth of Christ's love for us, the depth of his love, his everlasting love. Amen?
Amen.